Hello, everybody, and welcome in to eBible Fellowship's continuing Bible studies into the book of 1 Samuel, heard at this very same time, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for being with us wherever you are and however you're listening to us, either through eBible Fellowship's webcast audio or through Skype or perhaps through Pal Talk or even over the phone. And we pray that the Lord's blessings will be with us over the next 30 minutes or so as we now prepare to open our Bibles and introduce Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. This evening, due to some technical problems, we're getting a little later start. But let's begin by reading verses 12 through 17 in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before Jehovah, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before Jehovah. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, verse 18, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. We saw last time that Eli was watching Hannah, keeping a close eye on her, and he made an assumption about her as he saw her lips moving, but she was not speaking outwardly. And he assumed she had been drinking, and he was so convinced of it, he even said, how long will you drink? Put away the wine from you. And we wonder, you know, why did God include this? It's an interesting little tidbit of information. It doesn't seem really to mean much. Hannah is praying. We understand that. She's pouring out her heart to the Lord, expressing her strong desire for a child, for a son. And she's praying at the temple, and Eli is the high priest. He is a ruler of Israel. He sits at the seat at the post, by a post of the temple. And we could understand that he sits in Moses' seat. He is the authority spiritually in Israel, the caretaker of the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant is located. Eli is basically representing outwardly the kingdom of God on earth. He would typify the Old Testament caretakers of the gospel who were found in national Israel, and spiritually he could also relate to those in the New Testament caretakers of the gospel in the churches and congregations. And so we have someone, Eli, and we wonder about him because as we read the book of 1 Samuel, we find sort of conflicting information. He was a judge. He judged Israel for a long period of time. He had great concern for the tabernacle. He was so worried about the Ark of the Covenant that when it was taken by the Philistines, the last blow to him, it caused him to fall over backward and to die because he had great concern for the ark. But on the other hand, he was a man who did not raise his children well. His two sons were sons of Belial, the Bible tells us, and they were priests, but they were rebellious priests. And God came to Eli twice, once through a prophet to tell him that his house would be judged as a result of his failure to properly handle his sons and to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And also God came to Samuel, the child Samuel, to tell him the very same thing, that Eli and his house would come under the judgment of God. And a big part of that judgment took place when the ark was taken by the Philistines into their land. It was just a terrible time in the nation of Israel. And it appears that Eli, even though he had a very high position of spiritual rule, that he himself was probably not a child of God. And this would help to explain why he would not recognize someone like Hannah, someone who was grieved in spirit and who was pouring out her heart to the Lord. And to Eli, it was a strange thing. He didn't recognize it. He didn't have familiarity with that kind of praying, where you're praying in your heart to the Lord and you're very emotional. And he thought that she was drunken. And I think that we can learn that this it's an illustration. It helps to teach us. It shows us that those that are in the churches, which we're more familiar with, but it was true of the Israelites of old too, those that are in the churches that are not true believers, they tend to keep a special watch. They keep an eye out on the children of God, on the believers. And they watch them very closely. And notice how Eli marked her mouth. He was very carefully looking over Hannah and everything she was doing. And this seems to be the case with the children of God, those that are professed believers, professed Christians, but not truly Christian. They're not born again. They're not born from above. They don't have a new heart and a new spirit. So they're familiar with the outward trappings of religion and of Christianity, but they don't know anything about the inward things of Christianity, the communion, the conversation that goes on in the heart between a child of God and God himself. They're ignorant of that. They don't really have that. They have a form of prayer. They may say the words and they may take the posture of prayer, but they don't have true prayer, and so they don't recognize it when they see it. And so we find that Eli is mistaken. He makes a wrong assumption about Hannah. And this is because he just doesn't have the nature that Hannah has, and Hannah is typifying all of God's elect. This seems to be the case as the wheat grew amongst the tares, the believers have a language, they have a way of doing things that those that are not true children of God, they can mimic, but they can't fully comprehend. They cannot grab a hold of it, and so they look at the believer as though he or she is unusual, an oddball, or someone who is appearing as drunken. Remember in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine." So here we have God pouring out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in 33 AD, a glorious time, the official beginning of the New Testament church age, and God moves his people to speak in foreign tongues, foreign languages, that men from Jews, from all of these different nations, and why would Jews be from all these lands? Well, the scattering due at the time when they went into Babylon and the coming out again, they were scattered into all the provinces of the king of Babylon. And then later, when the Medes and the Persians took the kingdom, the Jews were located in all the provinces when Haman sent forth his edict that all the Jews were to be killed. It went into all 127 provinces. The Jewish people were scattered amongst the nations of the world. But when it comes to the feast, the devout amongst them returned to Jerusalem, and they came for the feast of Pentecost. And while at the feast, God grabs their attention by having his people, the disciples, speak in their native tongues, and they're speaking the things of the gospel, the wonderful works of God. But to those that were not chosen, they're not elect, these are the others. These are Jews also, but they're not amazed at hearing these things. To them, they're mocking. It's like they're drunken. So they're outwardly witnessing a phenomenon, and they don't understand it. They're confused by it, and so they make an assumption, just like Eli did. And they draw the same conclusion as Eli. These men are full of new wine. They are drunkards. They are, as Hannah will tie the two together, they're basically saying they are men of Belial. They are wicked men. And Peter has to set them straight in verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So Peter immediately sets the record straight. No, we haven't been drinking. Here's what's going on. And he makes a point of explaining very clearly. And that's exactly what Hannah does. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, after Eli makes that accusation and tells her to put away her wine, it says in verse 15, "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before Jehovah. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Hannah does not want this misconception to stand, and she immediately wants to clarify that she's not a drinker. She's not someone who's a drunkard. She's not a daughter of Belial. No, but she was praying. She was pouring out her spirit, not pouring out drinks, to the Lord. And this is also the character of the child of God. We follow the word of God. We follow God's guidelines, his commandments. And these things may and do appear very strange to the people of the world, to the natural-minded man. They don't understand. They don't get, for instance, why we hold to Sunday as God's holy day and refuse to work or don't even want to go to a ball game and many other things. They can look at us and gather the wrong idea, and they form an opinion. And if they express that opinion, and if they make a statement that's inaccurate and untrue, well, then the believer kindly and gently corrects them. No, you have it wrong. You have it wrong. That's not how it is. Here is exactly why I did this. And so Hannah had an opportunity to correct Eli. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to stop here for this evening. And please join us again at the same time tomorrow evening as we continue our study in the book of 1 Samuel.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Chris McCann with his continuing studies into the book of 1 Samuel. These studies are heard every Monday through Friday night at this very same time over Pal Talk, over Skype, over eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over the phone. Lord willing, we'll have another Bible study for you tomorrow night into the book of 1 Samuel. And until then, may the Lord's perfect will be done. Good night.